You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. A new report from the Visalia-based Community Water Center indicates that over 500 local water board seats have gone uncontested in recent elections. In the southern San Joaquin Valley, the report shows that 87% of seats on public water agency boards went uncontested. When only one candidate is seeking a seat, the election for that seat is canceled. The report looked at water agencies that serve residential and industrial customers, as well as irrigation districts that serve farmers. The report calls for a move to recruit and train possible candidates for these offices and for better public understanding of the role these districts play in California's water system. Joining us now, we have the report's author, Charlotte Weiner, on the phone with us. Charlotte, welcome.
Hi there. Good to be here.
Why exactly is this issue such a concern? If seemingly these organizations are operating, why is this something that is on the radar of the Community Water Center?
Yeah, no, thank you so much for asking. So these boards, they're incredibly important for a few reasons. First, when we're thinking about water access in this region of the state where hundreds of thousands of residents still lack reliable access to safe, clean, and affordable drinking water, these boards hold incredible power in sort of shaping water access and water management in the region. And beyond that, they really sort of in many rural unincorporated communities in the southern San Joaquin Valley, these boards are really the only local governing body that's directly accountable to and that represents residents in these communities. So in many ways, they really are the foundation of local democracy, not only in the Valley, but in these boards that exist throughout the state.
So, Charlotte, how big of a problem is this when we're looking at the uncontested seats that in some cases just keep rolling over and rolling over? Give us some examples of how widespread this problem is.
Yeah, so the numbers that we found were striking in and of themselves, you know, to realize that, you know, nearly 9 in 10 local water board members of these seats that we studied in Fresno, Kern, Kings, and Tulare County hold seats that were uncontested in the most recent election, and 3/4 of the boards that we studied simply haven't held an election in the last 4 years. But beyond looking just these last 4 years, to collect this data, I actually individually reached out and called each of the 146 local water boards in these 4 counties. And in my conversations with, you know, the district staff who picked up and frequently board members themselves who picked up, though our research was really just looking at these last 4 years, it was just striking to over and over again have conversations of folks at these districts saying, you know, I've been working at this district for 20 years, and I can't remember the last time we held an election. And I just had that conversation over and over again. There's 75 of these boards that simply haven't held an election in the last 4 years. And so it was just striking to realize that this is a challenge and a reality that these boards have faced systemically, not just over these last 4 years.
What do we know about the people who actually are serving on these boards? Is there data out there about those people?
Yeah, so actually there's just forthcoming research from the California Civic Engagement Project at UC Davis that actually studied the same set of local water boards. And what they found was really striking. You know, these boards in many cases, especially the drinking water boards, serve water to communities that are predominantly Latino. And what this forthcoming research found is that actually only 15% of these current local water board members in the southern San Joaquin Valley are Latino. And when you turn to non-drinking water boards like irrigation districts, the disparities are even more stark. Only 3% of the board members they found were Latino. And there is literally of the, I think it's 242 non-drinking water board members right now, there are no Latina members on the board. So it's incredibly striking to think also about the real demographic disconnect between the folks that these water boards serve and the demographics of the board members themselves.
What are the requirements to participate on these boards? Is it simply just being a citizen, a registered voter? Do you have to be a landowner in some cases, a member of a certain district? What are the benchmarks for applying or being on the ballot?
Yeah, so the requirements really vary by district. By and large, any resident of local water district is eligible to run for a seat on the board, with the really important caveat that on quite a few of the boards, there actually are sort of landowner requirements. And that was something that we, you know, didn't look too closely at in this iteration of the research, but is something that is a really important part of conversations about representation and accountability and sort of the demographics even of the folks who end up on these boards when you're being able to sort of tie eligibility to run on the boards to owning land. But by and large, any resident of the district is eligible to run for a seat on the board.
In talking with these people, did you get a sense of why more individuals aren't running, why they aren't having contested elections?
Yeah, so, you know, these boards, they really hold incredible power in the communities that they serve. In many communities, they really are sort of like a, you know, city council person or a mayor of the community. They're the only local governing body. But at the end of the day, the positions themselves, you know, are unpaid volunteer positions that really require to do this work effectively, really require incredible investment of time in your community and in serving your community and your neighbors. So I think the fact that they are unpaid volunteer positions, and that frequently, you know, folks who I've talked to and local water board members that we work with here at Community Water Center come to us a lot of the times and say, you know, I'm trying my best, but I frequently only hear from community members when something goes wrong. And so a lot of the work that we're hoping to do is not only supporting local water board members themselves, but also really working with community members to think about how, even if you aren't on the board, you still have a really powerful role to play in supporting those folks and in helping out in your community.
In some cases, these boards may only serve on the small end a handful of customers. So shouldn't we, at least in some cases, expect limited participation?
Yeah, no, I think that having sort of small systems is certainly one of the challenges here. And in recent years, we've been talking more and more about, you know, thinking through consolidation and ways in which we can help support these really small systems. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to folks just understanding that it's important to get involved in their local democracy. I think there's sometimes this feeling of, you know, as you get further and further down on the ballot, just checking a box or not even voting. But these boards, you know, change really starts at the local level and with boards like these. So even in small communities, these are your local democratic institutions that are really accountable to you. It's incredibly important to understand what they do and to learn how you can get involved.
You're focused with the Community Water Center on the issue of public access to drinking water, to clean drinking water as a human right. But many of the districts you're looking at aren't necessarily in the drinking water business. They're in the irrigation business, running essentially canals for valley farmers. How do they fit into this picture of drinking water access, in your view?
Yeah, so in the southern San Joaquin Valley, water is a shared resource, and the decisions that non-drinking water boards like irrigation districts make really deeply affect the water that drinking water boards are able to supply to their communities. So they are all pulling on the same water sources frequently, and really frequently these are groundwater sources. Water is a shared and a limited resource. So to be able to really understand who the decision makers are who are shaping water access in the valley, we thought it was incredibly important to not only look at drinking water boards that serve water to residents, but also non-drinking water boards like irrigation districts as well.
So what sort of decisions do these boards make? Give us some examples.
Yeah, so, you know, in many communities, in terms of these drinking water boards, let's say their well runs dry, the water board is the group of folks who comes together and makes a plan, applies for state funding, and really leads the construction of a new well. If a community discovers that their water source is contaminated, these boards come together and either pool their resources or apply for state or federal funding to build a water treatment plant. They sort of set water rates in the communities that they serve, and they also participate in sort of regional planning about long-term local and regional sustainability around around water. So they really, really powerfully shape water access. And then beyond that, I think something that's really important to keep in mind as well is that, you know, though some of these boards solely hold responsibilities related to water, in many communities, these boards are the local governing body. So they are really like the city council or the, you know, mayors of the community, and they also hold powers to, for instance, apply for funding to pave roads or use their community's resources to put in streetlights or sidewalks or build a community center or bring public transportation to their community. So they really powerfully, you know, not only shape drinking water access and water management in the valley, but also to shape sort of community health and well-being and really fundamentally shape life in these communities.
So what does your group see as potential solutions out here to this problem? Are you going to be training individuals to serve on these boards, recruiting candidates, or is that something that's better left to other organizations? How do you see this evolving?
Yeah, so we're excited to first do this research and get a good handle on the scale of the challenge here, but we really do see it as an opportunity for increased community engagement. So we are beginning to sort of hold roundtables and have a training set up in early April right in Visalia for folks who might be interested in running for these boards. And we really think it starts with first community members understanding what these boards are, but then just how they can get involved. So we are actively working to share information on what these boards are, why they're so important, and then how you as a community member can step up and get involved. And part of our work at Community Water Center is actually working with current water board members and supporting them in a network called the Community Water Leaders Network to really sort of share knowledge and expertise and support folks who want to take this step to step up for their communities and really be a voice and advocate for their fellow community members.
We've been talking with Charlotte Weiner of the Community Water Center. The group just came out with a new report documenting the over 500 local water board seats that have gone uncontested in recent years. In the southern San Joaquin Valley, the report found that 87% of the seats on public water agency boards went uncontested. They're talking about ways to address that problem and get more people involved in the democratic process of managing our precious water supplies. Charlotte, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.